for this morning will be coming from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 1 through 5. Proverbs chapter 31, 1 through 5. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Ye have not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted.
One more word. One more word. That's what my mother told me one time. She said, I don't hear one more word. Next thing I knew, I was getting slapped. Because I said, one more word. That's exactly what I replied, one more word. Then I remember one time she was going to whip me, and I was telling Gina, I said, well, at least Daddy's not home. Mama, don't hurt. She liked to beat me to death. I begged for mercy. I begged for Daddy to whoop me so Mama would quit. This is mine and Gina's third Mother's Day without Mom. Time goes by. Went by the cemetery this morning on the way to church and walked by her rock and sat there for a minute and thought about her and looked at the date of February the 22nd of 2015. I got to thinking about it, and I remembered standing there at the rock. It was Sunday morning. It was the same day that Jay had passed away on a Sunday. When we think back and we look about our moms, we think about our mother, and we think about all the wonderful love, all the lessons that we learned, the compassion that they showed us, the care that they give us. When I was studying this lesson this week, I debated about verses I wanted to use, and I first thought about going to 1 Corinthians and talking about the chapter that defines love. It gives us 15 definitions or 15 different words that describes what love is. And I think back about my mom, and I think that my mom really loved me. And she loved so many. What is it about Mother's Day? We always try to honor our mom on this special day. I found a few stories I want to share with you. It says on Mother's Day, many children try to do something to show their mother how special they are, and they like to give them something personal. Many times as a young person, we would make cards or letters, and we would fill those out for Mom, and we would give it to them. And here's just a few. First little girl's name was Angie. She's 8 years old. She wrote, Dear Mother, I'm going to make you dinner for you on Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn. Robert's card said this. I got you a turtle for Mother's Day. I hope you like the turtle better than you liked the snake last year. Ellen said, Dear Mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it were on Monday so we wouldn't have to go to school. Little Diane wrote, it says, I hope you like the flyers I got for you on Mother's Day. I picked them myself when Mr. Smith was not looking. And then there's one from Carol. It says, Dear Mother, here are two aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day. You know, each one of these stories, each one of these children was trying to show love and appreciation to their mother. And the text that Dylan read for us is no different. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 31. You know, many times as we think about this story, we find ourselves, we hear sermons, and I'm guilty of it, and we preach sermons where we'll start with verse 10 of this chapter. It says, Who can find a virtuous woman? She is worth far more than rubies. But the belief that that is where this section of Proverbs begins, many people believe that, but it's not. If you'll go back to the very first of the chapter, I think that we have to start there when we think about this famous section of Proverbs. It tells us about godly mothers. And we can all think back in our life and we can remember stories as I began, one more word. We can remember things that our mom, our mother has taught us and we carry them throughout our life with us. And that's what's really going on here in Proverbs chapter 31. It tells us about a godly mother who actually starts with King Lemuel at the beginning there in verse 31. And he's going back and he's telling us what his mother had taught him or what she had emphasized to him when he was younger. The first few verses, look at them, starting with verse 1. We see that he's reciting advice that was given by his mother when he was younger. The things that she felt that he needed in his life to be a good young man. Look at verse 3. Be careful who you date or marry is basically what it's saying. Can you imagine mom telling you that? Don't hang out with questionable women. Be careful as a young man. Be careful who you date. Now you can see the love that mom had here. Mom wanted the very best for her son. In a sense, she's saying here, Tim or Hayden or whoever's talking here, son, be careful who you hang around with. Ain't that a deep love and a concern that as parents and especially as mothers, as we talk about that today, that mothers have for their children, we want the very best for them. Then you look down at the next verse, verses 4 and 5, she's telling him not to drink alcoholic beverages. It can cloud your judgment. Be careful who you hang around with, she started talking about. Be careful what you do. These are things you need to carry with you, and it's called a burden that he's remembering here. Then if you look at verses 8 and 9, and because he was king, it says to be sure to stand up for those who cannot stand up for yourself. That's advice that the mother was giving him. You stand up for people that cannot stand up for yourself. Him being king, he was between good and evil, and he had to protect his people. He had to be the one that would dictate or say that this is right and this is wrong. And his mom was telling him, you be careful in these areas. And the King James Version calls that a prophecy. But if you look over in the footnotes, it calls it a burden. What we're reading here. And this is something that he carried with him throughout the rest of his life. Now, I'm sure it didn't make the cut here. You know, when we remember something about our mother, there's things that if we kept talking, we could keep remembering things. Maybe she stressed to him, clean your room up, stand up straight, brush your teeth, and eat your vegetables. Maybe all the things that all of us have been told all of our life. Maybe he got those things too when he was growing up. I'm sure that he did. But in this, in chapter 31, he's stressing, this is what my mother instilled in my mind. And these are the things that she said was very important, and I've kept them very near and dear in my heart, and that's made me the person that I am. Then you come to verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? What's most important to us as parents? Now, we can even go further than that. What's most important to us as parents and grandparents and mothers today, as we think about this, instilling in our children's mind, etching that out somehow that they remember it all the days of their life, that they can go back and say, Mother taught me this. You know, I think today more than ever in our society, we need stronger homes. We need moms and we need dads to be one that take the time to teach our young people what they need. You know, our children are not going to get everything they need. Listen to me for just a minute. All of our young people that come through these doors, they're not going to get everything they need over here in this classroom. Don't believe that when they walk in a class, even especially if I'm the teacher, don't think that they're going to come back there with me for 30 minutes on Sunday morning and they're going to get everything they need to be successful in life as a Christian. Miss Shirley Butler can't do it by herself either, or any of the other teachers that's in these rooms down through here. It needs to start at home. Mom, it needs to start with you. We need to start and teach our young people those things that's most important. This morning in our class in the back, we were talking about decisions. We were talking about big decisions that's coming. What's top priority, I think, is how we started the class. And I asked the young people, what's top priority in their life? And they went around the room and they explained to me different things. And we pulled all that together and talked about how that no matter what your priority is, David, it can be centered around God. Whether it's college or whether it's graduating high school or whatever field of work you go into, you make sure that that's centered around God, that we're seeking first the kingdom of God in our life and that we focus on those things. We need to teach our children how to be Christians. We need to teach them the importance of godly fear, being careful who you date. I told our young people this morning in the back, that one of the big decisions you're going to make is who are you going to marry? I said, today in our society, they're promoting men marrying men and women marrying women, much less talking about divorcing anymore. I said, it's a very big decision what you make when you date someone. I wouldn't go over one, possibly two dates if that person's not going to help me get to heaven. We need people in our lives that help us and direct us and point us toward heaven. I shared a story this morning about a young woman some 20-something years ago in Kansas had a child, and they were walked to church all the time, and they were pouring a new sidewalk closer to the church building where she attended. She asked for permission, and she carried her baby to the site where they were pouring the sidewalk, and they agreed that she could. And we've all done this. We've stuck our hand or our feet in concrete, and then our impression is in there. She wanted to take her son's feet and stick them in the concrete and imprint his feet in that. And the story went on to explain why she did that was every time they would walk to church as this child grew up, she explained to her son over and over and over again the importance of what she did. I wanted to start your life with your toes, your feet, pointed toward church and toward heaven. And the story says you can still see it there. That mom took the time to do that to impact their life. Folks, we need people in our life that helps us to get to heaven. And it starts in our home. And this is what King Lemuel is remembering here as we think about this. He goes on to describe what a noble and virtuous woman looks like. And as you can probably imagine, he's talking about mama. Someone once said that people become what they train themselves to be at a young age. We become what we're trained to be in our lives. And that's the importance of what goes on at home. You know, our young people are going to be brought up one way or the other. We can leave it for strangers and we can leave it for the world, or we can instill and etch in their minds and in their hearts the things that's important to us. Look at verse 30 of Proverbs 31. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. What's going to be said about us one day? That dad or mom, or whoever it is, that they feared the Lord and we knew it. Another story I found was of a couple. The woman was very faithful to God. She was a very faithful Christian, and she met this man, and he fell in love with her because of the difference that she was. Let me stop there for a minute, because I stress this in the back from time to time too. When we see people, we ought to be able to see a Christian. We ought to be able to see by your happiness because of your life and the way that you live that there's something different about you. I should enjoy being around Hayden a lot more than I should enjoy being around a worldly person. He should make me a better person because of how faithful he is. And this story goes on to say that this man fell in love with this woman because she was a true Christian and she lived it and she was happy and she was that light that she wanted to be and needed to be and God expected her to be. So he fell in love with her and they ultimately got married. Some years passed, and as she continued to be faithful to God, he didn't show much time for God. He didn't devote any time to God. And then he got jealous of God because he wanted more time with his wife and her give less to God. And it come a point in their relationship that he asked this question. He said, "Honey, are you going to be happy in heaven if I'm in hell?" To her response is, "Are you going to be happy in hell if I'm with you?" It's commitment. Being around that person and instilling in someone's mind that's going to help me get to heaven and not to go to hell. And that's what that illustration was illustrating there about the mom and the mother. "Are you going to be happy if I go with you?" Well, of course not. You remember several years ago, and I don't know how many years it's been now, when I preached this sermon here, there's one thing worse than going to hell. I don't know if y'all remember me preaching that. But if you remember what it was, it's taking someone with you. The one thing worse than waking up one day being in torment is looking and seeing Daniel with me or Wendy with me or my loved one, someone that I had under my protection, someone that I was supposed to be looking after and tending to and taking care of. If I lead them in the wrong direction, as much torture as I'm in, it's going to be worse knowing that I led them there as well. And I think that's what Proverbs 31 is teaching us. And it's telling us that we instill in our children's mind. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 10 and verse 37. He said, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You know, that does not mean that we don't love our families. Norris brought up this morning in the back, I think it was a very good point. He brought up that if I love God more than I love Wendy, I'm going to treat Wendy like I should. I don't need to put Daniel in front of God. I don't need to put Jay Cruz or Ella or any of my family in front of God. If I put God first, I'm going to treat everyone else like I should. Is that not what Jesus is saying there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37? He doesn't say don't love your family. He says love me more. Because when I love Jesus more, I'm going to be the mom I need to be. I'm going to be the dad I need to be. I'm going to be all the things I need to be because I'm imitating Jesus every day of my life. Proverbs 31 and verse 26 tells us of a virtuous woman. Again, speaks with wisdom and faithful introduction in her tongue. This woman who teaches her children about God. Sitting out at the ball field last night, Ella had a t-ball game, and I was sitting on the front of the bleachers. And I didn't sit there long because I got to hearing some people behind me. And I thought it would just be wise, after I'd done turned around and made a comment, tried to change the conversation, and it didn't go well. And I finally just said, okay. I stood up and I walked over to the other side of the fence. It's just amazing to me how in tune we get at a t-ball game to the point that we get angry. Angry, and we begin to yell at our 4 or 5-year-old child that's throwing dirt clods. Eight kids tried to get one ball last night. The only one was left was a hind catcher, and he was deciding whether he ought to go to center field to get it too. And then they fight, and the one that gets it, he stands up. I got it. Meanwhile, the bases are being cleared. And people get frustrated over that. And we yell at our children, and we talk bad to them, and we blame them for failures like that. And at the end of the day, I just thought about this sermon when I walked around, standing over by myself. I don't get in trouble when I'm by myself. And I stand there up against the fence. I got to think about this sermon. I said, I wonder if they talk to their children about God. I wonder, do they get angry when they're talking about drugs and they're talking about drinking and all the sin that's in the world? Do they tell them, do this? Instead of saying, please run to second base. What's wrong with you, run to second? Instead of yelling that, please stay away from drugs. Please be faithful to God. What are we putting in our hearts? What are we putting in our children's minds? Mark 8, verse 36. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? When we go back to our text that we started with this morning, this woman, she's teaching her children about God. She's a woman who's not satisfied with their child not being as they should. She's not satisfied with her children only successful in the business world, but wants their child to understand the value of God's will and God's word. Mom, that's when you're successful. That's when you're a good mom. When you stress godly things. Mothers have an impact on their children, regardless. I've said this several times in different sermons about different people, but you have an impact on your children, whether it's to the good or to the bad, but you're impacting your children one way or the other. No one is perfect. We all sin. We all fall short. Another illustration I want to share with you before we close. Some of the greatest men in our nation understood the importance of godly mothers. Abraham Lincoln is quoted by saying, all that I am, I owe to my angel mother. George Washington said almost exactly the same thing. All that I am, I owe to my mother. General Douglas MacArthur said this, my sainted mother taught me devotion to God and a love of country which has ever sustained me. To her I yield a new son's reverent thanks. A godly mother. I'll go further than that as we close this lesson this morning. A godly family, a godly home, godly parents, godly children, impacting, encouraging, and helping each other get to heaven. I look back on Wendy and what a good mother she was to my children. What a good person she is. I told the class in the back, I said, when you choose a mate, choose someone that will help you get to heaven. I would not be as far along in life if it wasn't for Wendy. She's kept us together. She's kept me going in the right direction. Believe it or not, she can straighten me out from time to time. She has a hard time, but she does it. Have someone to stand beside you and love you and take care of you. And I'm going to tell you something. You need that person to do it at your worst. It's easy to stand beside someone when everything's going great. You need that person to stand with you when you're not such a good person, when you're at your lowest. But I'm going to tell you, all that's being taught at home. It comes from mom and dad. That we're committed to each other no matter what. That we're going to stand together as a family. I can't help but think that the other day I had some good news that happened to me. I was excited about it. It has been 3 Mother's Days ago, but has not been 3 years yet. I was excited about something that happened the other day with the business I'm running. Still today I think about, call Mother and tell her. I didn't dwell on it long because I automatically thought, I can't call Mama. But I did think, boy, Mama would be smiling, she'd be proud. That's what I hold near and dear to me. I hope in some way in my life I can honor Mom. Because she taught me so much. Happy Mother's Day to each one of you. Take the lesson today for wherever it lands on your heart and in your life. I guess my point, if I had to put one point to this lesson, is be the very best you can be. Change your children's life now. Show them how important it is. Maybe I should have kept my text with 1 Corinthians, the chapter of love. Go back and read that if you hadn't. 15 definitions there of love. Let's teach them all to everybody. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we don't want to end without opening the invitation to become a Christian. So very important that you're a child of God, that you're dedicated to God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here, however, and you are a Christian and you've fallen away, we encourage you to come forward while we stand and sing.